Ladies and gentlemen, from the Microsoft Theater here in downtown Los Angeles, brought to you by Sean Porter Promotions.
What's going on, everybody? I guess since I'm in the host chair, wrong as hell last week after Ryan Garcia upset a Devin Haney, but my man Ant with two T's and the man you all really, you know, come to see along with Ant with two T's, the two division champ, the two-time champ, my man Showtime Sean Porter. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, I'm not even mad at you. Just completely took over, my man. We started the show. I was gonna kick him out of my chair and everything, but the way he held it down right there with the intro, I said I gotta leave him alone.
No, he's an expert. That's what he does. But our producer slacking. Hey, Sean, shout out to our producer. What's our producer name? Ron Hafey.
He's got the door all open. Yeah, we got background noise.
That's right,
Captain.
Well, listen, man. Like I said, I've been really just trying to blast this live that we finna do, man. I feel like, man, this was a great weekend, and on top of that, we already knew that we had to come with something live on Tuesday because of, you know, certain scheduling conflicts and things of that nature. Obviously, as you can see, I'm not in the studio. I'm in New York. Looking forward to doing some work tomorrow. I got a big announcement that I am going to help host and be a part of. Hopefully, before the end of the show, I get word that I can tell you guys a little bit more. But
just
until
then,
he's going to be on the August 3 card.
Just tell us. Oh, he's coming back?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Co-main?
August 3. No. He's going to commentate the Crawford Madrimov super card.
Oh.
That's my guess.
Oh.
That's what I'm.
Yeah.
That's in August?
Yeah.
Yeah. My birthday month.
He's telling me more than I know.
Hey, and then he has to hurry up and get right and get tight and go to Sean Porter Suit and Services because the next week he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Ooh, the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame.
That's done.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yo, this, so, all right, real quick for the Hall of Fame. Do I do me or do I got to come in black? Like, you know what I mean?
No, do Sean Porter. Yeah. It's only right to do Sean Porter.
Okay. All right, cool.
I mean, do a suit. Listen, man. But do a Sean Porter suit.
All right, so Matt Borgeson, you know, you should know him by now. He done started already with them super chats.
Good dude.
And you, Matt, you got about three more before I kick you off. He said, if Derek isn't on the show, that's okay. I kind of want to know if you guys think it's a physical habit shelling up or strictly a survival tactic that he has to break. Oh, great question. And then here real quick, same thing for Matt Borgeson. He says, question for Derek about Ryan's Philly shell. Okay, so yeah, so that was the precursor right there about the Philly shell. As a boxer himself, as a boxer myself, I come into the occasion where I end up shelling up myself. It is a mental habit. Is it a mental habit? Excuse me. Or are there tactics in the gym to break the habit? Similar to Ryan. So, then let's just jump right into it. That what Ryan does, moving forward, if I'm fighting Ryan, and if anyone that doesn't know, the referees always come to the room. They give us I gave you the instructions in the locker room. That's what they mean. They come to our locker room at some point before the fight, and they give us the instructions, and then they ask, is there something you want me to be concerned about? Is there something you want me to look out for as it pertains to your opponent? If I'm any fighter fighting Ryan Garcia moving forward, I would say watch for him turning his back, because that is he's now – this is borderline – putting himself at risk. It's almost like a fighter that intentionally hits somebody in the back of the head. It's like now you're basically lining yourself up for a punch that's going to go directly to the back of your head, to the spine area, and could really hurt him. So all in all, to answer his question, that's a fantastic question. Matt, I'll make sure we ask it next week. I promise. I definitely want to hear what Derek James has to say about it. I'm assuming he think this is a mental block that Ryan has, and he said even after the fight, I got ADHD. I just do stuff sometimes. So that's definitely a mental block that he has.
And also, Sean, when he's doing that, he's taking away his most effective punch, which is left hand. But as he's doing stuff like that, I'm thinking, hey, Devin, just swing. Make the ref do something. Because I know Sean Porter, he would have just like, you would have thought about it for maybe a moment, like ref. And then F it. Sean would just start swinging until the
listen,
ref
that point, addressed it. That point where he finally did let off about four or five straight rights
right
to,
hands
the body,
to the body. Yeah.
I would have been feigning Ryan to go to that position exactly, and I would have just started letting him go. And that again, you know, when you are thinking at the highest level, that again will now set up another position because he's not going to keep going there if you start banging him like that. You know what I mean? So those are some of the things that Ryan Garcia that Devin missed, I think, through the entirety of the fight.
I think part of the problem for Devin, though, is when he did triple up that right hand of the body, Ryan wasn't worried about absorbing it. And the back, you know, the back roll, the shoulder roll or, you know, whatever, it made it hard for Devin to get in, you know, one of his best weapons, that right hand over the top. And so he had to settle for throwing it to the body. And Ryan wasn't really worried about absorbing it. And it allowed Devin to stay in range. Okay, I'll let you get off. But then when I explode, you know, in that range, you're not going to have an answer for it. So, yeah, that was part of the problem for Devin. Even when he did, like you said, triple up with the right hand to the body.
I want to go all the way back to the beginning of the card, of the pay-per-view portion, just to give these guys some respect, especially Charles Conwell.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people out there are familiar with Charles Conwell. Oh, yeah, all the way back. Okay. Because this is a 2016 Olympian from Cleveland, Ohio, so y'all already know what he's coming with. The problem is he has been in so many contract disputes and so many different – there's been so many business acquisitions that have not worked in his favor that have held him out of the ring. So I just want to make sure y'all know, if you happen to have missed Charles Conwell in the first fight of the night, he legitimately should have been the co-main. I obviously, this is in retrospect, but if I personally was lining everything up, I would have looked at who's going to be the most exciting fighter that I know I can count on to be exciting, and it would have been Charles Conwell. If you liked what you saw coming from me, he's a 154-pounder. He's more patient than I am. He puts on calculated pressure. He swings with a lot of power, and he's going for the knockout just about every single round. So, and on top of that, he's got a great gas tank, and not quite as active as me, but active just like I was. You know what I mean? So you see the Cleveland come right out when he gets in the ring. He's training in Toledo. Shout out to Charles Conwell. He best fight in the night outside of the main event fight. So. Just wanted to shout him out. You guys got anything for Charles Conwell? Bad news?
Yeah. To add into all the things you said about him, his qualities. Also, quick hands and nice, short, compact shots. Really good on the inside. And I think you make a good point because he was the best fighter on the undercard. Shout out to David Jimenez, too, who won that interim title against Scrappy Ramirez. But Barboza was the co-main. But I definitely got to agree that the best fighter on the undercard was Charles Conwell. And it makes sense. He's the number one ranked WBC contender. Just maybe people haven't heard about him as much because of the opportunities that haven't been put in front of him. And 154 is smoking hot. Like, we got news today that Virgil and Tim Zhu could be linking up on August 3rd. Fundora just upset Zhu. Terrence Crawford's new to the division. Boots at any moment could come up. And Errol Spence is at 154 now, too. So this is a hot division. And he's just got to hold his position, and he's going to get that opportunity in a big fight. And when he does, win or lose, it's going to be entertaining because the style he brings. And it's not just that he's some entertaining guy. He's a well-schooled guy, an Olympian. So, yeah, I like Charles Conwell. I was happy to see him get some shine.
Yeah. I would like to see him up in there with some guys. But all the guys that I want to see him up in there, like with the Lube and Ramos across the street, the business BS. And obviously, I don't know if that's worth doing business when it's not a big time fight. So it's like, what do you do with the business? How do you build him? How do you make him a bigger name for the? He's no one at the WBC, but how do you make his name bigger for the WBC title? Because casuals really don't want to see him. Be honest.
Yeah,
it's kind of is what it is. So at that point, right now, it looks. I don't know what happened in the last 24 to 48 hours. Look like. We're doing business.
Right.
Look so, like boxing's doing business right now. Right. So keep it up.
Yeah, man. This is exactly what boxing needs.
Yeah.
I think it's right on time. Seeing the main event, Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney get made 3-3 in the amateur ranks, and then they come into the pros and they finally let loose on one another. I think it was, they're both 25 years old, 26 years old. Perfect timing. And to see this now become the new, seems to be trend that's going around in boxing now, where everybody's starting to fight everybody. We just got to keep it going. I really, outside of David Jimenez, I thought he did a fantastic job on fight night. I thought Scrappy was just in a little, over his head a little bit too much. Unfortunately, but I think it's unfortunate, but his lack of experience caught up to him much, much sooner.
That showed, Sean.
It should have. Yeah. It caught up to him. Go ahead, Ant.
I just felt like the guy was a, was he Olympian? Had a big, a long
amateur.
Yeah. And
Scrappy was a former MMA fighter.
Yeah, and I think he just jumped into boxing maybe like 5 to 6 years ago, Scrappy. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize how important those years of you guys in the amateur really matter, Sean. With and it showed in a fight like that. Like Scrappy just needs time and experience to beat a guy like that. That's a different style you don't see every day.
Yeah, we got a couple of super chats. I promise I'm gonna get to y'all. I screenshotted them so I won't forget them. But I want to get to Garcia and Haney before I answer these. But just real quick to your question, the purpose of the amateur program. You see a lot of different styles. That's first and foremost. If you in this thing and you're doing it the right way, you see so many different styles that nothing's really new once you become a pro. The other thing too is you fight in front of big crowds. You fight in front of a lot of people and a lot of people that aren't always on your side. You know what I mean? And so I felt like there were a lot of things coming at Scrappy on fight night that he just wasn't prepared for, and simply because he hasn't had certain experiences, whether it be amateur or pro. The biggest thing to me is he needed to make some adjustments, and he didn't know how to make those adjustments. One thing you can do as a pro fighter is get people in front of you that have the perfect style for you fight after fight, because once you get brought up on a stage in front of somebody that doesn't have the style that fits your program, now you got to find out whether or not you can make these adjustments. You know what I mean? I know I'm going to tell this story when we get to Devin and Garcia, but this fight right here was even reminiscent of my fight that I had with Kell Brook. No adjustments the entire fight. And we know how that one went for me. No adjustments for Scrappy. And we saw how that one went.
And I thought, you know, like outside of the ring, the story of that fight was Scrappy thought he could punk David Jimenez. And David Jimenez, you were there in Brooklyn, Sean, at the weigh-in. He took that very personally. It really fired him up. And he made his point, you know, in the fight. And Scrappy still was tough. You know, he took the fight well, but Jimenez took over, you know, after about the third or fourth round and made his point. And so he walks away with the interim title.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the main, also wanted to shout out Darius Fogrum. Remains undefeated. Another good win under his belt. And great kid. Look forward to having him on the podcast yet again. I know we did a live with him. We had him on live the other day, but I want to get him in on the show for a true episode. On to the main event. And
y'all don't want to touch that co-main? I didn't really watch that too much, but the nonsense was real.
What about Sean Puffy McCombs?
Oh,
that's what I call him.
Okay, Sean Puffy McCombs.
Yeah, that's
in a time like this, you call him that still?
I know, right? I couldn't help. It wasn't because of he's doing any of that. But
he told the public
nuisance is what he is. The public nuisance, and that's all he ended up being on Fight Night. It was just a nuisance to a Barboza who yet again has a lackluster performance. I got to be honest, y'all, and we don't have to stay on this too long, but
Sean
Porter, I got to now.
Sean, you called this. You said that last time you wasn't too impressed by his performances.
And I'm questioning, are you really that guy? You know, I had a conversation with him last year. He got jumped over for a chance at a world title, and he was very bothered by the situation. And I said, hey, man, when you get out there, man, you just got to show them who they jumped over and showed them why. And now this is two performances in a row where I haven't seen much from him. So, again, man, when you've been in the amateurs, you have so much experience. If you've been paying attention, you know who everybody is. You see in their eyes, you know who they are. You see them hit the bag. You see them warm up. You know exactly who they are. This kid, I gotta say it, man. Arnold Barboza looks like the kid that looks like the part. But when he gets in the ring, he just ain't the guy. This is now two performances in a row where he's performed the exact same against lesser competition than where he's ranked at and where he should be performing at. So you can't blame the opponent on this one. Sometimes you gotta take it into your own hands, and he did not do that.
But you know, it is possible too that it's just he's just a solid, very competent, solid, good pro. And he's in a division filled with guys that all have something special about them. You know, even though Haney lost, he's still on his best night, a very, very, very good boxer, you know, and Cruz has that special dimension with his aggression and his explosiveness. Matias with his work rate and his power and his relentlessness. And then Tio with his athleticism and counterpunching. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Not everyone's going to be special, great fighter. The sport needs good, competent, solid pros too. And, you know, that's what I think Barboza is. And that was a controversial decision, but, you know, he's earned his way to his ranking. He's not a guy with a huge star appeal. So he's just got to continue to put wins on the board until he gets his title shot he's looking for. But, you know, the sport needs guys comprised of that too. Not everyone's going to be superstar, special, multiple division champion, you know, so that's what I would say about that. Yeah.
You ready to get over the main event?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm not even going to read this. I got a statement to make about this. Funny to me.
The main event, Sean. You know, I feel like the Mayweather effect was real. These guys as superstars now really watch Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Like they really idolize their whole career about Floyd Mayweather.
He's the most influential guy in the game right now to this generation.
Yes. Yeah. I love the losses. Let's get a loss. I want this to get crazy. Shakur get a loss because it changes boxing, Sean. If you can get those guys get losses, it changes boxing because they're not going to quit fighting. What you going to do? You're done? No, now we might get rematches. We going to get this thing really going in boxing what we really wanted. I know Sean Zatel is old school. He really want these guys to fight a few times.
Yeah.
And we get more losses, those guys actually start turning up. You become a legend instead of just you want to retire with 34-0.
Well, Floyd provided everyone unrealistic expectations. You could win every fight, basically never get hit, and make all the money. it's not going to work like that for the most part for everybody. You know, it literally only went that way for one guy.
This is good for boxing. Yeah. And I said that because of your point. And it puts everybody in the position where now everybody has begun to fight. You see one of the best in the world lose to one of the other. Now you can say one of the best in the world, that being Devin Haney losing to Ryan Garcia. But we know that Devin is easily still top three at 140 pounds. It just happened to be the night. But the great part about it is now I have no doubt we're going to get a rematch. And the narrative of this rematch is going to be amazing. The promotional side of this rematch is going to be amazing as well. Let's get to these super chats, and then we'll kind of backpedal our way back. Gerald Morgan, great time with you at the barbershop on Friday. Thank you. And on your podcast. Yes, my Army boxing team enjoyed it. And great running into the other Sean backstage. So, Gerald, good to hear from you, big dog. Look forward to seeing you again, man. God bless you and everything. The Spit Bucket Podcast. Salute, gentlemen.
Shout out.
What does a potential...
Good interview with Bernard yesterday, yeah.
Okay.
You done?
Sorry, go ahead.
The Spit Bucket Podcast. Salute, gentlemen. What does a potential rematch with Tank look like? Did your opinion change after Saturday? Let's go right to that. Go ahead.
I think...
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go
rematch with Tank. Tank actually has bringing resistance where Haney just don't have the power. A lot of things factor into the Tank rematch. What's the weight going to be? What are we fighting at? Who's the A side? I think both of these guys feel like they're the A side.
Let's assume Ryan gets his way in a rematch. No. Let's assume, though, he's 144? Able to fight at 140. Let's just assume. Yeah.
144?
Yeah.
It goes. It's a better fight. I think Tank skill wise, power wise, Tank's still able to pull that off. I just think that power. He had no respect for Devin Haney, Sean, and I thought Devin Haney power was more because it's a Regis fight. But Regis tried to box a boxer, and I didn't think about that. when Haney went in and blitzed him. I mean, when Garcia was more brought the power to the fight. I still got to go with Tank. I still think Tank gets Ryan Garcia. I mean, I'm up for the fight again, though. That kind of turns it up for me. Well, I ain't gonna lie.
Well, yeah, that's the important part right there. Is that even if you think he'll win, there's enough intrigue there that you want to see it again. Mm-hmm. That fight just became probably the biggest fight in boxing now.
Ooh.
It's bigger than Canelo Benavidez now because these guys got their finger on the pulse of the youth and they know how to, especially Ryan, manipulate contemporary media to bring the most attention possible to what they got going on. So would Ryan win a rematch at a higher weight? You know, I don't know. I know Tank won on the night they fought, and credit to Tank for that. But the important part isn't even what me or you think. It's that the general public would want to see it. And even casual fans are like, they know about the weight in the first fight. And that's such a big selling point. And then after what Ryan did in upsetting Devin, you know, I don't even usually care to talk about numbers, but that's a fight that does over 2 million pay-per-view buys. That, ooh, you know, that fight could be Mayweather-De La Hoya territory now.
Okay.
So that, yeah, I think that fight might be the biggest fight in boxing now, a rematch.
And that's what we want in boxing, rematches.
Yeah.
Like, Porter owes us like 3 rematches they never gave us. That's crazy. And he retired.
Especially Spence.
Especially Spence.
And Thurman. Maybe Thurman even more.
Yeah, Thurman. But it's just like, this is what I wanted for boxing. Always wanted, because UFC has all this ish, but this is what I wanted for boxing. I know we got the business, but go ahead, Sean.
Listen, hopefully we can get all the way back to the beginning of how this fight started and everything. But let me say this. I still think that Devin Haney, once he recovers, he gets back going. He's got a lot to get through and all that kind of stuff. When Devin does get back, mm-hmm, Devin versus Tank is still a fight that needs to be seen.
Yes,
in this
I still want to see it.
Yeah.
All right. Then first and foremost, let me say that I had people. Oh, he can't be. He kept getting hit with that hook. Tank never got hit with the hook one time. Guess what? Tank's a southpaw. All Tank got to do is hold his right hand up, and the hook it stops that orthodox fighter from even feeling like he can land the hook. You know what I mean? And there was so much more that went into the Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia fight. Number one to the question, yes, I think that rematch should be better. Could possibly even still go the same way. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Tank ain't nothing different. Styles make fights. We can't say that more than enough. So when you got a Ryan Garcia that was amped up, came into the ring, did everything he needed to do, dropped Haney three plus times, great, magnificent fight. But styles make fights. That was a prime performance. That was a it was a prime performance. So what can you do the same thing against a Tank Davis? I'm really not sure. Let's not do this. Tank is still a southpaw. Tank is still explosive. Tank is still gonna take the distance away. Tank still is smart as ever. And the list goes on. And then you got right behind him, Devin Haney. All of the same thing. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of this fight. I think the rematch is intriguing now. Mm-hmm. I still want to see. Ain't nothing went away for me to see Tank and Ryan Devin get it down.
Ryan actually said after the fight though that he's not interested in a rematch with Devin. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I'm not mad at him.
Really?
Excuse me. He said he's not interested in the rematch with Devin.
Yeah, he said that right after the fight.
At the end of the day. At the end of the day, this is the business for him. At the end of the day is, I got off on you, I got the tiebreaker, and now it's time for me to get ghost on the bigger and better. So that's the business for him. I hope the business don't allow him to do that, but that truly is the business for a Ryan Garcia in this position.
But then Ryan also said, Ryan has been going off. He called out Boots. He called out Spence. He called out Fandora. He did say he will fight him in a rematch.
He called out Paulie and Tim, right?
Yeah.
And Chris.
Yeah, no, come on. Right? Well, you ain't got time for that.
Yeah. Right.
Legit fights over here. Okay? Ryan Garcia won't, I almost said something pause worthy. Ryan Garcia want to get some guys, okay? He called out everybody. He feel like he the crim.
You know what's a great fight with him? Mm-hmm. 144, Isak Cruz.
Ooh.
Be a great fight. It you know, this Mexican-American.
That's tough.
This Mexican-American star against this star that's now become beloved in Mexico. It's a little bit of Chavez, De La Hoya. Not so much Esau Cruz isn't Chavez and Ryan isn't Oscar yet, but in terms of that dynamic between, you know, the two fan bases, and then it's one guy who all he wants to do is come forward and smother your shots and beat the crap out of you against a guy who, please come forward, because all I want to do is get this left hook off. So that would be a great fight. And Ryan is one more big fight away. Maybe it would be Cruz would fit the bill from becoming the guy in terms of, you know, star power. And because after this win, he's one of the guys.
Yeah.
But if he were to beat Tank in a rematch, maybe even Cruz or something like that, then he might, he's going to become the guy in terms of box office. So
what do y'all see Shakur in this? Because I think.
Hold up. You're going too far. Going too fast. Okay. Real quick, Mr. Rocket. Tank versus Ryan 2 needs to happen. This money will be even bigger. It's too big to not happen. And the face of boxing conversation needs to include Ryan.
I guess I was a step ahead there. No. But yeah, I think it. If Ryan continues on this path, it will happen because there's just going to be too much money on the table for people to walk away from it, for people involved, I would think. But for now, listen, you know, I don't know.
Let's go all the way back to the beginning, man. Listen, I said that I felt like something crazy was going to happen.
You did.
At the beginning of this fight.
Sean Porter called that fight almost to the T.
He did.
Because I said, I was in there, I said, Sean called this. He said he's going to go down, get up and win the fight. And then things started going crazy.
Did you record that for the behind the scenes? No. You ain't get no BTS of that. But listen, that's what I felt. I felt like something crazy was going to happen. It ended up happening in the first round. This is the part I thought was going to happen that did not happen. I thought Devin was going to go back to the corner, thought Devin was going to recover, and I thought Devin was going to make adjustments. That literally never happened. And that actually ends up becoming the entire narrative of this fight. We get a fast, strong Devin Haney until he gets hit. And then every time he gets hit, it goes away. Hey, Iceman. Yo, I had to bring on Iceman, especially we ain't got Derrick James coming on. I had to bring on Iceman. Ice, you got 5 minutes. But the reason why I brought you on is because you said, I'm over here trying to take claim that I said this, that some of this was going to happen. You actually said all of it was going to happen. So go ahead. Floor is yours.
Real quick, they talking about Ryan Garcia being 2 pound for pound on the list. He's ready to fight Errol Spence next. I think he's unstoppable. Devin Haney came in looking weak. I text you. I said he looked kind of scared. Now, this comes back to two things that I peeped. One, he didn't fast during Ramadan. I feel like if Devin, if you notice, Devin was not the same Devin as he was with Kambosos, and he wasn't the same Devin when he fought Regis. If you notice, he wasn't that confident glowing with confidence guy. He looked scared. When he pushed Ryan at that outside and smacked him and all that, and Ryan kind of backed up and just screamed at him. That's when the whole fight changed. I think that Devin not fasting during Ramadan, not suffering and you know, like your man said right there, and you know, pulling up in a Cullinan to the gym and all of these things. I think it affected his hunger. But the Ryan that came in that night beats Devin 10 times out of 10. He looked small. He looked skinny. He looked a little frail. No disrespect to my brother. He just looked scared and Ryan looked fearless.
Real quick, before we let you go, maybe one question from each of them, but before we let you go, listen, you said that you thought that Ryan was going to pull this off. Like what gave you the feeling that this fight might go the way that they actually ended up going?
I just think that, you know, Ryan said a couple things. He said that he was going through a divorce and he was going through something with his children. I've been there before. And it feels like the world is crashing down on you. And, you know, he just was just carrying his dark energy that was actually going to just, I just felt like Devin didn't have that edge because Ryan had that edge that they're both waking up in silk sheets. But I think the drama that Ryan was going in personally gave him that edge. And I just looked, and Haney looked drained. He looked emotionally drained. He didn't, his shoulders looked small. He didn't look like the confident Haney that fought Regis or Cambosos. And I just felt like the lion was inside of Ryan, and he hit him with that left hook I told you about, and I told you the seventh round. Yeah, and your man saved him in the seventh round, but that's what a lot of other people to talk about. You know what I mean? But and shout out to Bill Haney and them, but he should the fight. You know, his son really got hurt. And one last thing before I go, all the shit talkers, no matter what religion you are, the ones that come out and just be talking shit and dogging people out. I just felt like they did. They jumped on that bandwagon. Cambosos did it. He lost. What's his name? The pound for pound kid.
Lomachenko?
What's his name? The other one. The Spanish kid.
Lopez.
Yeah. He talking shit lost, and all the people that talk major shit loses because it's a sweet science. Stay humble. Stay in the gym. Stay on that. But when you start talking all that shit, making t-shirts and all of that, if you notice in the last 2 years, all those guys lost. Even the great Errol Spence. He started making t-shirts and all of that. Smoking this and that. Everybody who started all that talk. It promotes fights. But all those guys on that talking shit side, they all lost.
Iceman, we were just... This is what we wanted. Boxing, everybody needs to lose. Tank needs to lose.
Right.
Shakur needs to lose. This makes boxing better. Floyd honestly effed up boxing. Everybody can't be 50-0 making $100 million every fight. No, fight. Rematches. Let's go. Everybody fight it out. You're going to lose in life. People act like they're God sometimes.
The way, and you're going to still make your money. You're not going to, you know, they still going to make their money. They just got to get rid of the O.
Yeah.
Iceman, we appreciate you for tuning in, man.
Thank you, brothers, and thank you for having me back, man. You kept your word, Sean.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, Mugia, Canelo.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Canelo, seven rounds or less.
I'm going with Mugia for the decision.
Oh, God. Okay.
But it's hard to go against him right now. It's hard to go against
him. Okay, what you got? Tank and Frank.
Tank stops Frank easily.
Uh-oh.
Tank is bad. Tank is coming back. Tank is taking over. Now, he got the edge. He just burnt his crib down in Baltimore. He just bought for the hood. He got the edge. Let's go.
Sure. I'm thinking it's real house. But I know what you're talking about. I'm like, later, why ain't later, house
later. Now? Peace, baby. Tank. Yeah. All right, baby.
Hey, good point.
Thank you, guys.
Sam.
Yeah.
I'm you know, when he's talking about the turmoil coming off the divorce and everything, I'm reminded of Mosley heading into Margarito, had the same kind of thing. Everyone counted him out heading into Margarito, and he took all that, like the man said, all that negativity and took it out on his opponent. Yeah, and Ryan did the same. And he makes a good point, too. In retrospect, Devin came in subdued. Like, we, you know, at 2 days before the fight, after the presser, his voice was weaker than I thought it would be.
Somebody else said that.
From making weight. We're thinking this is his second fight at 140. He's feeling good now. But, yeah, in retrospect, like, his energy was very subdued and Ryan was on. And at the time, it's like maybe he's depleting his energy too much before the fight and he's not going to have nothing left on fight night. And Devin's here restraining it all and ready to let it all go on fight night. But, no, great points by... What was this man's name again?
Iceman.
Iceman, great points.
Hey, I'm going to ask you guys something. Even the producer back there. You know, we all got boys. Imagine that, Sean, you've been in a situation, but if I'm Bill and that's my son, watching my son go through that, Sean, honestly, Sean, you never been to nothing like this. Me and my lady's watching the fight, and I'm like, imagine that's my son. I'm like, my baby. But I'm like, you're a warrior. Get up, baby. Get up. I said, I would let him finish this fight. She's like, no, the hell you wouldn't. I said, no, because I know what I got in my son. I will let him finish this fight. That's what he deserves. Yeah.
It's just like a football player or like a basketball player.
Uh-huh.
You know, with football, like let's just take the running back for instance. You see the running back get smacked, but he gets up and he makes his way back to the huddle. You the parent, you because you love this sport, because your eyes are used to seeing him get hit. Uh-huh. That's how it would be for you, Ant.
Yeah.
Your football is my boxing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if I happen to my son want to box or something like that, and I see him taking punches and stuff like that, I'm connected to it differently from other people. Y'all are still connected to the viciousness of it and the that hurt and all those other things. I know what it feel like. Just like you know how I feel to get tackled, you get blasted and you get up and you make your way back to the huddle. Is the same way a fighter get put down and he make his way back to the corner. Y'all on the outside looking in. It's a little bit worse than it actually is. You know what I mean? But to your point, man, and to your lady's point, I get it.
That was different, Sean. That was a lot. That kid took a lot. Listen,
he kept getting up because he was strong, because he was in shape.
Oh, he showed the heart of a true champion.
It's that all that hard work ethic that man has. Because it was one time he was on his stomach. I said, babe, his legs is done. That boy hopped right up. I said, I don't know how he's standing right now.
No, he had...
Because he... Great conditioning.
Yeah.
That's what that is, you know? Great conditioning. I didn't really see much in terms of him being drawn out or, you know, voice changing or anything like that. To me, it's a part of, it comes with the territory, you know what I mean? You deal with it as best you can. He seemed like he was ready to go when the bell rang. This is what I did see, to the point of that Sharif Iceman that we just had on the line. Go back and watch the fight. Watch Dev's first punch. He throws a jab, and he dips down like that right after he throws the jab. When you talk of when Iceman just pointed out fear or being scared, things of that nature, it may not be true fear, like, oh, I'm scared of the boogeyman. But just from a standpoint of, I'm tight. I don't want nothing to go wrong. I want everything to go right. Sometimes you have a fear of something going wrong, and that's enough to prevent you from doing everything you can do. To me, that's what we saw from Devin on fight night, opposed to him being weak or
that he got tight with all the pressure on him to go knock this bigger puncher out. Yeah, because that's
And then so let's get back to the X's and O's of this fight. Every single round, what did Devin do? It came right to the center of the ring, right where they agreed this fight was going to happen at.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you make an adjustment and go back to being who you are and doing what you do?
Was it, well, you know what I mean? Sean, I talked to Fernando Vargas after the fight, and he said, because he brought it up, like when he got dropped by the left hook by Trinidad in round one of his fight, he says, interested to hear what Sean thinks about this, he says, when you get hurt, it's not like you get unhurt. He said the rest of the fight, when you really get hit with a shot like that, you're fighting the dizziness. The ring is spinning sometimes. You're getting up and everybody's cheering and you're like, what just happened? And so you're dealing with that the rest of the fight. Again, he said you don't get unhurt once you're hurt. Yeah. You're dealing with that hurt the rest of the fight. And that was insightful to me because I think on the outside looking in, we think he's hurt and now he's recovered.
Yeah.
And now he's back to 100%. But yeah, I think... If not, after that first left hook in the first round, Devin never really recovered from the seventh round, the first knockdown.
Yeah.
And he never really had steam on his shots after that. Even though I think he won rounds 8 and 9 because Ryan just had his foot off the gas. But if I could, you know, yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, no. This is a tough analogy, but it is the realism of this sport. All fight, you got two cars crashing into each other. You got two high-performance cars, a Ferrari and a Lamborghini, crashing into each other. So round after round, we recover, but guess what? That dent is still there.
Right.
You recover, now that dent goes from being a dent to being a scratch. It never goes away. So round after round, it becomes an accumulative of everything that's gone on through the course of the fight. When he get put down in the second round, it was, but he got shook in the first round. When he got shook in the first round, that moment doesn't leave him. Even if he recovers physically, his eyes are good, he's cognitive, he's ready to go. The moment, it's hard to get past the moment. It's just like a quarterback throwing an interception. The best quarterbacks are the ones that can throw an interception in the first possession and then come out and throw a bomb and throw a touchdown in the second possession, but it's really hard. You don't see that very often. That's why you got the good quarterbacks and then you got the great quarterbacks. Same thing goes for boxing. It's really hard to put those kind of moments behind you. So he was shook in the first round, got worse in the second round, and was something that even physically, it looked like he had recovered and got past it. Mentally, he never got beyond it. And on top of all that, I don't think he was asleep on the left hook. Can't see the left hook. Somebody had a question in here. Let me find it real quick.
While you look for that, I got a question.
Yes.
And I don't know if it would have changed the outcome of the fight, but at a certain point, Ryan, I don't know if he was trying to do the shoulder roll again or anytime Devin would engage, he would practically turn his back all the way around. Mm-hmm. What was that about? And, you know, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Ryan is taking advantage of the system. I think he knows that you can't get hit in the back. And so he's like strategically doing this. I can't tell if he's doing it on purpose or if he turns and then he
well, it's an old habit ends up that's in this come position. Back. Like he did it, you know, early in his professional career.
And then
Eddie Reynoso seemed to kind of drill it out of him.
Okay.
Eddie, and then it didn't happen under Joe Goosen, really. And then the Duarte fight and Devin, it's back, but it's kind of working. It is working.
It is working. Yeah, so, fight.
I mean, yeah, Devin, he capitalized on it a little bit going to the body. Should he have done more? And just
absolutely. That to me, when you talk about him not looking like he looked in previous fights, specifically Regis Prograis and then the one before that, Lomachenko. What did he do against Lomachenko every single round? He went to the body. Mm-hmm. There was almost zero body work in this fight. You know what I mean? So I think they definitely left a lot of things in the locker room. Well, I think they worked on all of it, but they left it in the locker room.
Do you guys feel if he would – honestly, that wasn't a Devin Haney I'm used to on Saturday night. If Devin Haney comes out be the best jab in boxing that we know him, he got a better chance of winning this fight?
Well,
I just never seen that. It's like I'm coming here. This ring is mine. I'm gonna knock you out, Bill.
Listen, I'm in New York, and my dad is here with me. My dad is watching a video of Ryan Garcia narrating how he said he was this whole crazed promotion that he was gonna do. He said mm-hmm. he had this planned out months ago before the promotion even started, and he said he had his behind the scenes guy there, has all the footage you can watch where he said he planned to do this a long time ago. All of that actually ended up working. It got in Devin's head, meet me in the center of the ring. Every single round, Dev went to the center of the ring. Everything that Ryan ultimately ended up doing at some point or another, some way, shape, form, or fashion, it got to the entire Haney camp and it disrupted their camp. And it became a virus. And the virus on fight night, it got in Devin's blood, got in his mind, and would not allow him to do anything that he does well.
Well, you know, just to touch on that game plan, like Ant said about gotta let these guys lose, right? Yeah. So that you get, you know, you ask for the best to fight the best, they lose, and so that's part of the game. It wasn't a good game plan, obviously, in retrospect, to meet Ryan in the center of the ring. To Ryan's credit, shout out to my man Kenny Buhari, who pointed this out immediately to me when I did bring up the game plan. He said, well, he got hurt at mid almost long range in the first round. So he got hurt doing what we're talking about we would have loved to see him do more of, use the mm-hmm. jab and be a little bit rangy in the center of the ring. And he got caught with the hook while, you know, using his jab. But
you know why?
Why?
I'm going to just interrupt you real quick. Because in order to throw power, you got to fight flat-footed. When he fought Regis, he fought on his toes, but also flat-footed. And he capitalized because Regis doesn't have feet. Now you got a kid that has speed and power and has this long whipping hook. He's flat-footed. And that's why the jab fighting that mid-range didn't work because he was flat-footed. Had he not been flat-footed on his in and out the way I know he can be, that punch would not have landed. In the rematch, that punch doesn't land.
Well, part of why he's using that game plan is people like me, you know, media and we're almost demanding a stoppage. We're almost saying going into the fight, if you go the distance with him, especially with the way we're perceiving him heading into this fight, it's not really going to mean a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So he tried to oblige us largely by saying, okay, it's a big pay-per-view fight. you guys, I want to show everyone on the next Pound for Pound King, I'll equal what Tank Davis did. Now, turns out that was a miscalculation, yeah. But I think part of it was rooted in some good reasons. You know, he's trying to live up to the ideals and the expectations of the public, being a pay-per-view fighter. And yeah, it just, but to give credit to Ryan, you got to question how much that being a rangy on the outside and being boxing first, Devin, for the first time, met his match on the outside, at least in this fight, because he ran into a guy who could match his length and match or actually exceed his speed. And, you know, just to say that, you know, but yeah.
You know, that's what I said about this fight from a psychological standpoint. I said Ryan Garcia is going to be able to tap into things that he was not, that he did, just didn't have going into the ring with Tank Davis. And what is that he's going to tap into? The experience. I've fought you 6 times. I know your speed. I know your power. I know your moves. I know your range. I know your distance. I know all of this. And so even when he's doing all of this in the public, these things we've come to call now antics, all of those antics and things that he did never mattered, because psychologically he knew what he could do against a fighter he had been in the ring with before, and he called on all that as the fight began.
Did Haney Corner get out coached?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bill's a coach. I won't take kid is very talented. But you're going up against one of the best all time in the other corner.
Listen, this is what we saw. We saw Jorge Linares catch Devin Haney with a punch.
Yes.
And Devin was almost out. Let's call a spade a spade. He goes back to the corner, and the camera goes to the corner. TV is in the corner with the Haneys, and we don't hear anything coming from Bill's mouth.
Just shocked.
To me, that's a shocking moment, a lack of information and wisdom to come to your fighter in the time that fighter needed it. You fast forward, he comes to the corner, and we have TV go to the Haney corner, and Devin says he keeps hitting me with the same punch, and there's no adjustment for this punch. Bill, we never got we didn't hear an adjustment on the punch. We heard, keep doing what you're doing, Dev. It's working. Don't worry about it. Keep doing what you're doing. Now, you get hit with the same punch. This is something that you were supposed to learn from. In the moment you got this decision against Loma, you go back and you take a look at that footage. Why did I keep getting hit with that punch? What's the adjustment that I need to make for this punch? Because moving forward, that first left hook lands, another left hook is not supposed to land through the entirety of the fight. I'm told y'all, I'm on record for saying this. Errol Spence hit me with the same. He hit me with the same hook twice. Boom. We boxing. Same thing. Boom. And I said, I'm going to get hit with that hook again. And in the rest of the fight, I didn't get hit with that same punch. You know what I mean? You
got to adjust.
Yeah, if the fight.
What
the
was
fighter
the adjustment,
can't make
though, Sean? Like, what? Yeah, what did you do? What was the adjustment you made? And what do you think is the adjustment Devin should have made?
You know, I think for me, it was just getting offline. I think I stayed online when I kept getting hit with the hook. Obviously, it ends up becoming the same situation for Devin. The hook is a punch. Let me answer this as well, because we got a super chat right here. I'm gonna answer it as well, because he was asking what's the most awkward punch to throw. This is from Sleeper. And he's asking, is it the uppercut? And then he's also asking, what's the hardest punch to land? I think the hardest, the most awkward punch to throw is also the hardest punch to land, which is the overhand right. You really have to have precision with the overhand right. and you gotta have timing with the overhand right. And it's also a hard punch to throw because, you know, you gotta have your range and your distance with that overhand right. But the hook is a punch that when the punch is released, it leaves your vision, and then it comes back. So for anybody out there that's saying, how Dev keep getting hit with that punch, well, it's a whipping motion, first of all, so it's coming a different way than he's ever seen it come before. Outside of obviously Ryan Garcia, but in the amateurs, it's so fast, and your punch is so fast, and the gloves are so much bigger, you're not getting hurt as an amateur. But that whipping motion that he does with his punch is hard to see, and then on top of that, it leaves his vision. And then it comes back at the perfect time. that to me is God given to Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
And that's his specialty. You know, not too many fighters can say I got a specialty punch. That's a specialty punch. You know, and that's why I kept landing. What's the adjustment? And I'll let you adjustment for Dev, number one, was to be jab, 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 jab.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you jabbing,
he piled up a couple rounds after that first round off the jab.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the jab was beautiful after that. He should have stayed with it. Jab, jab, jab. And then what didn't he do? He didn't use his feet. You get offline. Yeah. That's what I did against Errol Spence. You got to use your feet and get offline. Go ahead, and my fault.
I held the Haney's at such a high level IQ-wise, especially Devin. I thought Devin was to the point you could send Devin out there, and he's like Floyd Mayweather. He'll make adjustments on the fly. To the point, I thought Floyd didn't need his uncle, dad, last
keep doing
years.
What you're doing, Floyd.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I thought Devin was at that point. But obviously, it's stuff he still needs to learn, Sean. Oh. Go ahead, take it, Porter.
Listen, my fight with Kell Brook, I narrated this on my boy George's show, and I got to make sure I get the name of it Yakovich. So I can shout it out.
George Yakovich.
But listen, for 12 straight rounds, I did the exact same thing against Kell Brook. I'm so much smarter than I fought against Kell Brook. Y'all, I think y'all saw the intellect and the intelligence that I have later on in my career when we started doing some things different. Mm-hmm. I could have did that earlier in my career. Mm-hmm. I especially needed to do that early in my career against Kell Brook. I was a crazed man thinking I was going to knock him out for 12 rounds straight, fought the exact same way for 12 rounds. It's not a matter of him not being smart. It's a matter of this moment getting the best of him and him not getting the best of the moment. In a rematch, he makes adjustments. If I could, I will beg Ryan Garcia to rematch Devin Haney because this is a trilogy waiting to happen in the pros. I'm telling y'all.
And this is what the pros need.
Yeah.
Well, too,
and real quick, Sub-Zero, my fault. Let's do this real quick. Sub-Zero TV, weight is one thing. I'm happy that he said that. But landing punches is something. Is something else. Only losers complain about weight. S. Porter fought everyone. People like him are true champions. Let's go, champ. Bill Haney is to blame. Ew, I hate that I had to read all that. But let's talk about the weight. Go ahead.
Well, first though, to what you're saying about making the adjustment, I have heard a lot of fighters say that once you're in a fight, it becomes harder to switch the gear into boxing. Although, like you said, the great ones can do that.
Yeah, Floyd.
And you know, while we're talking about the miscalculation of the game plan, I think some of it is for good reasons. I think maybe they were looking at it like, we know Devin can box. He's got that in his bag. So let's keep developing like the infatuation with sitting down on shots because we want to make him more complete in their eyes. And so
superstar.
Right. We know he could box, so let's get him to work on the power and then we got the complete guy. But maybe now after this, that infatuation with sitting down on shots is kind of like, okay, let's get back to what he does best. What he was doing when him and Sean, you know, when Sean was sparring him as a teenager is being on that back foot, behind that jab, and being rangy and all of that. So
yeah. Yeah, another thing I learned as a professional fighter, everybody saw me being aggressive. My whole thing with being aggressive was I knew fighters couldn't handle it. I didn't stop being aggressive because fighters couldn't handle it. If you box and you fast and can't nobody handle it, don't give a damn what people say. People say I was an ugly fighter. In my personal opinion, I was an ugly fighter. But people came to learn it, respect it, and love it. And so, you know, Dev's got to get back to what he does the best. We got on the Part of Way podcast, welcome yet again, world renowned comedian Naeem Lynn. What up, boss?
What's up, bro?
All great, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I just came in to you talking about, what were you saying? About you getting ugly fighter.
No, I was just, you know, I was trying to make a point. You know, I probably shouldn't have knocked myself like that, but I was just trying to make a point that, you know, the knock on Devin Haney is he, all he think he does is dance around and fight with speed. And as we can see, being flat-footed, again, and just bad game planning, but being flat-footed against a fighter that's just as fast, just as sharp, and has an electrifying punch, is not the best thing, is not in your best interest. And what I was saying was, no matter who you are, man, keep doing what you do well and make people learn it, make people respect it, and make people appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. but go ahead. No, the floor is yours, boss. Great fight, big fight this weekend, and definitely want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think me and I was talking Saturday. You know, we was all in shock, just like everybody in this room was. I don't want to hear people talk about I called that. I don't want to hear that. Okay. You think he gets him in a rematch, correct? Devin Haney.
I do. I think he wins the rematch. I think he was winning that fight. I don't know if he started sleeping in the middle of the fight or whatever, but he was up like 4-5-1. And then he just started getting, it was just Captain Hook.
Yeah.
It's like when you, Muhammad Ali against Joe Frazier. He just kept landing the hook.
It was kind of video game-ish, where it was like, you know how when you're playing the game, you're like, yo, I'm going to just throw this punch.
Yeah,
and you know it's going to land because you know how the game go. Mm. It got kind of video game-ish at some point.
He just kept tapping the button.
Sean Porter, how do you take away that hook?
You take away the hook by getting offline. You know what I mean? To me, that was just the most simple adjustment that should have been made. And coming into the ring, listen to me. This kid only has a left hook. We know this. We're going to circle to our left, and we're going to use our jab. When you circle to your left, you get off a line, you take the hook away by circling to your left. So, I mean, it really is that simple.
I thought Devin was going to do that early and then take his time before he wanted to sit down on shots. Pick him apart first behind the jab, then sit on the right hand. But he kind of tried to wing it, you know, from the jump. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You hurt the first 30 seconds of the fight.
Right.
You know what Mike Tyson say? Everybody got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And, you know, Devin he's always heard that people always say he don't have no power. So I think he's been trying to assert himself and show people that his power is going up, especially after he dropped Regis Prograde and he came out. And Ryan even said that he hurt him. I don't know what Ryan said he hurt him, man.
He said that he hits harder than Tank. Said that
today.
What he did? Yeah, he said that today.
Calm down.
I know, but that's what he said. That's what he said.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Yeah, me.
Right. Well, fighters tend to elevate the guys they beat.
Some things just let roll off your back, you know.
But no.
So, Sean, do you think that it was, I mean, you said the simple adjustment that could have been made, and a lot of people, of course, as soon as you lose the fight, the first thing they do is blame the trainer. They say, you know, Bill is taking him as far as he could take him and all these things. How much do you attribute that loss and the constant mistake of getting caught with the hook to his dad? For me, I'm not a boxer. You know, I'm a spectator. For me, I feel like, I feel like him being knocked down that first time in his career probably threw him completely off. Like, I believe he probably was in like, man, I can't believe that just happened. And he lost his legs. You see, he had no legs. I don't know how he made it through that round. It was a minute and a half left in that round, and he held him the whole round. And it seemed like in the next couple rounds, he started to get it back, but then he got caught again. And I feel like, you know, and we've seen him with adversity in fights before. When he fought Lomachenko, he kind of came to the corner like, man, I don't have no answers for what he's doing. And I think that maybe that knockdown just threw everything off, and he wanted to – maybe he felt like he had to get those points back. He could have fought a little bit more carefully after that. He was winning.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you're right. The first initial punch that shook him in the first round, that threw everything off. And then after that, it just kind of became this snowball effect where there were just moments where he's getting hit with this hook. Getting hit with the hook, to me, when you're getting hit with this punch and you're so susceptible to this punch, that's a lack of preparation. Preparation goes to the coach and the corner, then it goes to the fighter. The fighter can't make adjustments. The fighter can't improve on things. The fighter can't learn other techniques if it's not being given to him. So first you put the blame on the corner, and then from that point, you know, obviously the fighter, like my dad would always tell me, I did my job. I gave you everything you need. When you go to the ring, it's on you. If you lose, it's on you, because I did my job. And we understood that. We knew that my dad was pushing me so hard. We were doing all the things that we needed to do. When I went to the ring, it was my job to now do everything I was doing in camp doing through the years of boxing and putting it down the way it needed to be put down. For him to continue to get hit with this hook is completely unacceptable. I don't think it's something that happens again, but it has to be adjustment. The other thing that I think you blame on I hate to use the word blame and finger point, things of that nature. However, when it comes to your fighter being the brain has that, you got to have the head. You need a safety lockbox. And the only one that can get in that lockbox is supposed to be Coach Bill. It's supposed to be your dad. It's supposed to be the head in the corner. That's supposed to be the only one that can get in that lockbox and tell you everything that you need to know. All this stuff that he was doing and all the stuff that everybody's saying you need to do and all this, you ain't got no power and all that. He's supposed to be locked in mentally. So that's, again, that's something that you kind of have to point at the head in charge, because the head in charge is supposed to make sure that that fighter is operating as a soldier. Soldiers, when they go to war, they know what their job is. Mm-hmm. They got the intel and everything. They cannot deviate from that plan. They can't divert from that plan. And that's something that if you got a great commander in chief behind you, they give you the intel and you go out and you perform, you know. So collectively, it's always an entire team loss. However, I do believe that this was a psychological loss for Dev before he got in the ring. It got even more serious when he got hit with that punch in the first round. It got even more serious when he started getting getting put on his butt. You know, and I don't know what the information was coming from the corner. But he fought the same way the entire fight. There was only a number of rounds where he actually chose to use the jab and step around. If I was him, I would have stuck with that. But that's not what he decided to do, and that's not what they did. Yo, let's talk about this weight. We got to talk about the weight. Nah, give me your thoughts on the weight situation.
Real quick, I refuse to believe that he didn't prepare in training for that left hook, because that's his punch. That's what you know you got to prepare for.
That's his money shot.
That's his shot, and they said it. You prepare for the left hook. You got to prepare for the speed, the power, whatever. You know, you've been in the ring with him before. You know he got power, he got speed. The weight, I actually wanted to ask you about that, because you've been in there. How much of a difference does that 3 pounds matter? I know he came in probably over 160 in the ring, but the weigh-in, for me, that's extremely unprofessional. It's like you almost didn't even care.
I don't think he tried to make weight. And here's why I say that. We could see that there was a lack of conditioning through the course of the fight at certain moments in the fight. The only way you have a lack of conditioning is if you didn't do everything you needed to do prior to the fight.
Sean, if he was in condition, this fight wouldn't have went 12.
He would have gotten out of there in that round, the first round. He knocked him down, I believe. That's kind of true. You don't think so?
No, I said that's kind of true.
Yeah.
But I feel like if he had been in good shape, then he would have had more. He'd have been throwing more punches. There'd have been more consistency with Ryan Garcia, which would have maybe Devin would have fought differently. When you punching a dude every round, he turned his back on you, he's not really throwing no punches, then you can get you caught slipping, which is what happened.
Yeah. No, I mean he was in shape. You know what I mean? There's a difference between being in shape and fit for a fight and being at the level of conditioning that elite fighters at that level should be at. At that level, you cannot afford to gas out. At that level, we saw him gas out. So that, to me, shows signs that he didn't do everything he needed to do to make 140 pounds to begin with. Do I think it served as an advantage? It's really hard to say, because, you know, if he's 3 pounds over, there's no telling how much weight he put on prior to the fight. Another thing that didn't happen, we didn't see him. There was some holding and things of that nature.
Ryan was doing the holding early, and then Devin, after he got hurt in the sixth and seventh, he started doing much more of the holding. But they kind of swapped places. First half of the fight, Ryan was doing it more. Second half of the fight, Devin was.
But we didn't really see Ryan like laying on him. We didn't see Ryan like pushing him down. We saw the headlock a lot. We saw that enough. to get mm-hmm. to get the points taken, you know. But man, at the end of the day, I think that this fight needs to happen again, and I think it needs to happen either at a catchweight or it needs to happen at 147. Let's get a complete understanding here. Can you make 140? If you can't make 140, okay, let's make a catchweight. What's the lowest weight you can make? Because I can make 140. I'm coming in fit, ready to go. And I think that, you know, this fight needs to happen again, but it needs to happen on what we would all consider to be even playing field, which is getting on a scale and that scale saying the same thing. This is the thing that people don't know, and I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. When a fighter gets off of the scale, hypothetically, two fighters get on the scale and they both weigh 140. When they get off the scale, they're both going to go drink 20 ounces of water. The one that lost the weight correctly, he's going to gain a pound, 2 pounds, three max. The one that lost it incorrectly, he's going to gain 3, maybe even 4 pounds, you know? So it all depends, man. We all put on weight differently. We all take off weight differently. And it's hard. It's really hard to measure the outcome of this fight based on the weight.
Well, to surmise the whole weight thing and the whole weight issue, you know, Ryan, one, I think I'm hesitant to talk about it too much because despite the weight, I still picked Haney to win. Everyone still picked Haney to win. Mm-hmm. So if you're Ryan, it's like, oh, don't bring up the weight now. You guys all mm-hmm. said I was going to get dominated. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he's doing a little bit of rules for thee and not rules for me. Mm-hmm. When it comes to him, he can do a side-by-side comparison of him from the Tank fight and him in the Devin fight. When it comes to him, he could say, everyone knows I'd win a rematch with Tank at 144. I was drained, right? Devin even hits harder than him. I was just drained. So it's okay for Ryan to do that. But then when he puts the other shoe on the foot of Devin, it's, you know, he's tweeting out, Mauricio should strip him and give me the belt. And I don't want to hear shit. You guys were all wrong. You guys all picked against me. So I don't want to hear about it. But at the end, and by the way, he was just the better man. He had Devin's number, you know. But you can't say... I was drained against Tank, and clearly I'd win a rematch if I was healthy, and then at the same time come in almost half a weight class heavier than Devin on scales. And I know one thing Team Garcia would say is, come on, Devin rehydrates 20, 25-plus pounds, right? Well, technically that's not against the rules, but what you did is, and Devin was criticized for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how it could be a controversial take or a hater take to even bring this weight up when it's a matter of fact. When Floyd Mayweather beat Juan Manuel Marquez and he came in 2 pounds over at 146, nobody said, it's kind of like Ryan, nobody's saying, oh, that's why Floyd won. He won because he was a better man, right? But he still got criticized for it. When Jose Luis Castillo knocked out Diego Corrales in 2005 in their rematch, knocked him out in 4 rounds, he came in almost the exact amount overweight that Ryan did. And, you know, he got some credit for it, but there wasn't some controversial hot take to say, well, that's not cool. That's kind of BS, bullshit that you did that. But Ryan was the better man. But at the same time, it's not cool that you can, you know, fairly point out that maybe you weren't at your best being weight drained for Tank. But then at the other side, want to be absolved of any and all criticism for not making the weight for your fight with Devin.
I'm glad you mentioned Juan Manuel Marquez, because I see that this bout or these fighters can do a Pacquiao Marquez thing. I feel like they're going to fight multiple times. They already fought multiple times as amateurs. They split, and that's why it's not hard for me to say that Devin can win a rematch. These guys can literally go back and forth. I think they should fight at least 3 times. I feel like Devin will win the next fight if they do fight again, and then they end with a trilogy to see who's really the better guy.
Hey, no, I agree 100%. Before you got on, we were saying, as I was saying to the guys, I love this. I want Tank to lose. I want all these guys to lose because it really turns up the sport of boxing. I think it builds it up by all these guys having losses and they really got to fight each other.
Listen, we're not condoning losing. However, what we are saying is that there's so many fighters that are not willing to risk losing, that there's fights that we just don't see. So we're not condoning losing. We're not saying it's cool to lose. Yeah, but if you do lose, like, I've been saying this forever.
Sean, you're the perfect example, bro. Perfect example of that. And I wish more boxers thought like you.
Yeah, listen, now you got anything else for us?
Disgusting sometimes when guys do lose these big fights they ask for. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you got UFC booming over there with 5 losses. Booming. They booming. 5 losses in the main event, each opponent. Yeah. Come on, man.
I want to give a shout out to Devin Haney out of the... That that four guys, you know, the new four, what was they called? What they call them back in the day?
The four the, kids becoming the four kings eventually.
Right. So so the four kids out of Haney, Tank, Shakur, and I guess Teofimo would be the fourth person maybe.
Yeah.
I never thought that Devin had the most skills, but I always liked him the most because I feel like he always wanted the big fights. And, you know, it's no risk, no reward. I definitely did not see him losing this fight. I thought he would shut him out, actually. Yeah. I was talking big shit, and I'm like, oh, people don't know shit
about boxing.
Me too.
Sometimes it's me that don't know shit about boxing, but I hope that Dev comes back stronger and continues to take those big fights. And, you know, he's still got a lot of legacy to build. And, shout out to Ryan Garcia for proving everybody wrong. Because I did not see that. Yeah. So,
yeah, shout out
to Ryan the rock star.
Yeah, shout out to Ryan Garcia. Yeah, people texting me like, yeah, I told you. They still mad about the Tank loss. I'm sorry, I'm a couple of Mexican buddies. I'm like, bro.
Listen, now before we let you go, you got anything you want to shout out? You want to let the fans know anything you got coming up? That we can check out.
We back on tour, man. We don't never stop working. If you want to see where I'm, you can check out KevinHartNation.com. You know, I'll be touring him. We got a bunch of shows coming up. We gonna come to Vegas eventually. I think like in July. So you know, I got you on tickets, man. And when I'm there, I'll come do the show again. And that's it, man. I got the ESPN ticker, so I see a lot of fights have been made in the last couple of days. Hey. So I'm looking forward to that.
Naeem, you going to be in L.A. August the 3rd? It's popping. That's the date with all the fights.
Terrence Crawford?
Yeah, and all the fights on that card.
Yeah, as of right now, I'll be here. And if I'm still here, no shows, I'm definitely going to the fight. You already know.
Hey, Sean, before we let this fool go, I will never do you like he did his boy on 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes, Sean. You know what 60 Minutes is?
He over there talking CNN, right?
Yeah, talk crazy D60 about
60 Minutes?
Yes, okay. D60 Minutes. Okay. Talking crazy about Kevin. What did you
say? No, he didn't. No,
drop
he did.
Drop your statement,
Nah.
Drop
I can't
your statement.
Believe it.
This is going everywhere, Sean. Tell him, Nah.
Nah, first of all, you got to understand, we were interviewed for an hour and a half, and they showed us for 30 seconds. And what part they showed is they said, was Kevin always this confident since you've known him as a teen, since he was a teenager? And I said, yeah, and I don't know where it came from. I'm like, where this little ugly dude get all this confidence from? Yeah. He always had it.
Probably said a bunch of other beautiful, insightful things, but they just used that. Yeah, that's how that goes.
Yeah, that's how they did you. My bad, bro. I didn't know it was like that.
I said some worse things, too. But like you said, I did say some beautiful things.
All right, now we got to get to these super chats. We'll get up with you.
Next one, if I could just pick, because he gave Devin his props in defeat, and I want to do the same, man. He getting up from each knockdown and still pursuing this monster puncher, even with his legs not fully under him, the steam leaving his punches. I just want to say I feel very confident that at the least Devin Haney will win another world title. That WBC super lightweight title is not the last belt he'll get. And just based off the, like, we knew he had heart and we knew he was a very good boxer, but I think he really showed he has the heart of a true champion. And coupled with his work ethic, I definitely think he'll be world champion.
I think that loss is going to make Devin Haney a better fighter. Sometimes you need it.
Yep. All right, now we'll catch up with you.
All right, bro. Thank y'all. Take it easy.
All right, man.
Yes, sir.
Bless.
Listen, man, how is it that I can promote a live show that we're going to do for 3 days and we only got 2,000 on here? But them boys out in New York did a weigh-in show for 3 hours.
Shout out to Andy.
Wait, while we're talking about the boys in New York, Sean, I got to get this off.
Go ahead.
15,000 watching.
Shout out to Andy and Matt?
Andy and Matt.
They did their thing, absolutely. But shout out to Dane. Shout out to Dane.
Makes
the clothes and everything for the show. Dane tried to tell me. He was humble. We were staying in the house.
You're getting right.
He knew... He was very perceptive to Ryan, kind of like Sean. Sean knew that it was kind of an act. Dane was very insightful in the house. Kept politely trying to tell me, like, hey, man, he's doing what celebrities do, like a Doja Cat. What's he doing? This is crazy. And there was a method to the madness the whole time. Most of us didn't see it coming. Sean did to a large degree. Shout out to Dane. Dane tried to warn me in the house in Brooklyn that Ryan was lit and he was in control of this all. So, yeah, shout out to him. And Ryan, like, I He kind of did what's called cultural jamming, although it's typically a form of protest against consumerism or whatever. Mm-hmm. He used much of the same tactics from doing that. And what you do in that is you subvert the media, which he totally did, and you do it to push across a larger point that largely goes over people's heads. Mm-hmm. He did that. So
yeah, shout out to Dane. He in the chat. Gourmet everything.
I had to give you props, Dane. Yeah. You should be in sitting in the chair instead of me
one. All right, get the super chat. My bad, son.
Let's go.
I apologize.
Pedro El Fuerte. He said Ryan adjusted throwing a chopping right hand.
Yep.
Yeah, he did that too. Yeah, we talked a lot about the hook.
Some right hands landed. Every time Devin tried to clinch him, Sean, he hit him on the right on the side of the head, not in the back, right on the side of the head. And that right hand was his answer for the clinch. And then before the last knockdown, he landed a clean 1-2 to set it up and hurt Devin.
Shout out to Derek James.
Yeah.
Shout out to Coach Kirby. He asked if we thought the 3 pounds made a difference. We answered that. Hopefully you've seen it, Coach Kirby. Francisco Valdez, he said, if Haney wins a rematch with his usual bread and butter style, I feel like a majority of viewers won't give him credit. Ooh. I think he can win it, and I think that's what he needs to do. It is what it is. Styles make fights. You got to fight the style that's going to beat your competition. Moving, punching, and grooving. That's what Haney needs to do against Ryan. I'm sure that's probably how he beat him in the amateurs.
Made me reassess Shakur De Los Santos a little bit. Made me say, at least he got the win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It may have been a very dull fight, but maybe if he tried to oblige those of us on the outside of the ring and trade with De Los Santos more, he might not have walked home with the win. And, you know, someone cue up Floyd Mayweather. I guess that's the whole purpose of what he would always
say.
There you go.
Pedro El Fuerte, he came right back with Garcia adjusted in the seventh round, in the seventh win with right hands. Yep, that's exactly when that happened, man. It was a great fight by Ryan Garcia. Don Gotti. Shout out to the Port Away podcast, Sean and Sean, for the pictures this weekend. So he said, thank you for the pictures.
Shout out to Solomon Brooklyn, man. Good.
Don Gotti. Yep.
Yep.
I'm hurt that my guy lost, but he will be back. 100% will be back. He will, like what Zatel just said, he's going to be he's going to be everything his dad said he was going to be. He just won't be undefeated doing it anymore. That's all.
It's still Mr. Rocket. Still going to do it special. It's still going to be special.
Still, absolutely.
Like, I loved this. I loved it.
Mr. Rocket, he said, Sean, people do the same to Ryan. They won't bring up the claws versus Tank, but the 3 pounds to Devin, Tim Bradley, Devin kind of lost. Devin accepted the $1.5 million and the fight. There you go. Once he accepted the fight. In the rematch, you got to make that thing fine print. If you don't make weight, we don't fight, and I still get paid. So we gotta make that fine print. That's it for the super chats. It's about it for the Port Away podcast today. I got a nice little something I want to send us off with.
Sean, before you send us off,
man,
I want to go back and shout out Andy and Matt, man. They killed it. We gotta get these fools. They need a show. The Tri-State Boys. Because one's in New Jersey, one's in New York, and them boys killing it. I have no problem giving them, letting them do the weigh-ins every time, Sean, at the press conference. Them boys, I was impressed.
Yeah.
I was too, man. Hey, I'm working, and I kept looking over there like, dang, they still on?
Bro,
they still
on? I'm like, hey, Sean, I said, look at these numbers. Look at these numbers. God, y'all. Yeah.
They was kicking it. I got to go back and watch it. I got to go back and watch that.
I always want to shout out to Zytel. I appreciate you coming in here, man. Appreciate your presence. I got you up here. I think you're the best to do it.
Even after picking my first big one on my own wrong.
We all make mistakes.
Thank you, man.
Shout out your channel.
Oh, Sean Zytel. I got the 91 removed. It's just Sean Zytel now. Thank God. Yeah, got that.
Yep. Real quick, let's speak on this real quick.
Uh-huh.
Sub-Zero TV, Ryan Garcia doesn't have a ceiling if he can lock in. Did anyone see Derek James trying to control him in the corner?
I did, in the last round.
I went back and saw that.
That last round was beautiful, though, bro. I had what's his name? Malik Scott. Malik Scott was sitting up there with us watching the fight, right? And I seen how Derek James was, you know, really just giving it to the kid before the last round. I walked over to Derek James or to Malik Scott. I said, that's how you coach. I said, I don't know what you've been doing, but that's how you come. We was kicking it. You know, we good friends. Maybe we was kicking it. But well, I just thought that was masterful. Yeah. You know what I mean? He had to get everything he needed round by round, and especially in the last round. He knew his fighter had to finish the fight, and he gave him everything he needed to finish.
Yeah, it's, man, I wanted to discuss this with Derek if he was going to be on. But,
he come back.
But, you know, first let me
do it next week.
Do this because, you know, last week I was talking about he hit a lull, which Emmanuel Stewart hit lulls. Lots of Freddie Roach hit lulls. It happens if you're a great trainer. You're going to hit a lull. But, man, Derek James had nothing handed to him in boxing, really. I mean, well, he's had some stars come his way now based on the hard work he did building a fighter from scratch in Errol Spence.
But Derek James built Derek James.
Right. And to flash back to his career, a couple days before fight night, there was highlights of his fight with Joe Lipsy on Twitter, on YouTube. And I'm watching this fight, and Derek is doing his thing. And I'm thinking, my God, the 90s were just brutal. Like, anybody in the top 15, 20 was a killer back then. It was just different. I mean, no disrespect to the guy, to the era now.
No,
but
you're right.
So Derek's fighting in an era of killers, and he was only 9 or 10-0, and he's fighting Joe Lipsy, who was good enough, Ant, to fight Bernard Hopkins a year or two later.
Damn.
So he's fighting someone in his 9th or 10th. And this isn't the era now where Lomachenko's fighting someone for a title in the first five. They weren't, you don't get fast track back then. Yeah. And Derek's dominating Joe Lipsy, drops him twice. Then he gets to the part of a fight, 7th, 8th round, that he probably seldom had seen because he's only in his 9th or 10th professional fight. And, man, he had the better of it up until that moment. And I just, my heart went out to him a little bit because you're fighting in an era full of killers. They're matching you with a guy who's good enough to fight the best middleweight in the world a year or two later in Bernard Hopkins. And you were whooping him up until you got to a point of the fight where you probably had no experience. So after that, you know, he took some more losses after that. But all you got to do is watch that fight to see the talent and execution Derek had as a fighter. So, you know, he gets fed to the wolves early as a pro. And but then he gets his glory in you know, as a trainer, and this is his probably his brightest moment. He built Errol Spence from scratch to get a 3-division champ. He took Jermell Charlo, who was a pure boxer with Ronnie Shields before he got him, had like a 50% knockout ratio. Then he gets him to almost knock out everybody in every title fight he's in at junior middleweight, and now when everyone's counting him out. For the you know, maybe Derek's a little dejected, maybe he's getting over the game and some of the BS that comes with it, and he summons out the most shocking performance I've covered, you know. So
what if this is not it? What if he does it again in 2 months?
Listen,
if he can bring Tank, woo, I'm this. I'm coming here.
If Frank gets Tank on his watch,
if Derek James can beat Tank, you beat Tank Davis and Devin Haney and 60 days.
I refuse to believe he didn't have a little extra something heading into this fight. And I asked him that in Texas when Ryan had his media day. I said, come on, you're human. You gotta have a little something. And he's like, he's not having none of that. I don't care what y'all say. And I know he doesn't, but he's human. He had to have a little something extra to prove.
All right, listen, here we go. We're going to end.
Oh, you got somewhere to go. All right, cool. We ready.
No. I ain't got nowhere to go, but we're going to end on this. And then I'm going to do the motivational message. But this is it. And this is for you, Ant, okay? Super chat from Alex Z. Ass whooping tour for Ryan, what now?
Are you talking to me? Oh, yeah. How did I say that? I don't even know how I said that last time. What did I say?
This about you, said, you just said you he said was on Ryan an ass whooping tour.
Say it again.
You said that Ryan was on an ass whooping tour. He said he's going to get his ass whooped.
Oh, yeah. I thought Ryan's about to get his ass whooped. Then go up to Shakira, get his ass whooped. But he said, hold on, baby. Hey, but hey, I still think, I don't know. Like I said, it's still hard for me to see Ryan beating Shakira, Tank. I like the T.O. fight.
That's
I like that
fight.
Tight. I
That's
love
a great
that fight.
Fight. Yeah.
Matias,
Matias gets hit. So that left hook's going to land.
Okay.
All right, listen, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Listen, this is going to be the motivational message end today. I have a friend who once upon a time said this to me. He said, I didn't know people could actually live their dreams. I didn't know that was a real thing. And I looked at him and I said, what? I said, man, I'm living my dreams every day. Everything I said I was going to do in life, I've either have done or I'm currently doing it right now. along with some other stuff that God done put in my way that I didn't even know was coming my way. So I just wanted that. I want this to be the motivational message today, man. You can live your dreams. Anything you say you want to do in life, number one, assess yourself. And if it's in your ability, you know you got the ability to do it, do whatever you need to do to go get it. I came back to New York to be a part of a broadcast tomorrow. I've wanted to be a broadcaster, seems like, my entire life. And now I'm the only broadcasting personality to be on every single platform in boxing. And it's because these were my dreams. I knew what I needed to do to get there. And now I'm here. And I wanted this little treat, that this little thing I consider to be a treat. We're going to talk about it just a tiny bit when it's over. But I've had dreams of being an actor for more than 20 years now. I had dreams of being an actor since I was a teenager. And right as I was retiring from boxing in 2021, the first scene that you'll see, I had my last boxing match in November of 2021. I went to D.C. and shot this first scene in December of 2021 because I knew what my plans were. I knew what my goals were. I knew what I had the ability to do. And I'm literally living my dreams every single day. Keep pushing forward. Don't forget your dreams. Make them a reality. And check out this clip right here.
Hey, Pop. I need you to forgive me. I know I promised I wouldn't box anymore, but I wish you were here, Pop.
Double jab right here. That's it.
Pass has come back.
Sheamus flying pressure, Cooper off the jab. Max makes the ropes. Charles tries to cover up. Sheamus to the body. And oh! He wants him to sleep!
One, two, three, four, five.
Don't you dare put your head down. Unless you're praying, there ain't nothing down there for you. Look up.
Sorry, Pop.
Sorry? For what? For doing what you believe in?
I need you, Pop.
No, you don't need me. You were given this life because you were strong enough to live it. Now, it's okay to be hurt, but it's not okay to be still.
Pop.
Now, you know what I want to hear. Now, give it to me.
I fight with this.
Mm-hmm. And?
I love with this.
That's what I'm talking about.
And when two become one, mm-hmm. I'm unstoppable.
Well done. Now I want you to use your heart to rise up and fight back. Fight back, son.
I'm starting to understand now. All those things you used to say. New beginnings.
Doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. I asked you a question. Where did you get this?
6 years ago. It was just you and me, D. Trey is six.
What do you want me to say?
Damn it, D. Is Trey my son?
Yes or no?
Yes! But that doesn't give you a right to go out and get a damn DNA test behind my back!
When'd you plan on telling me, D, that I have a damn son? You didn't think that at some point with us getting back together, this was gonna come up?
You really wanna get in this right now?
Entertain me.
Because you left.
No, you pushed me away.
I pushed you away? No. You were living your life, okay? I let you live your life, matter of fact. You wanted to go be this pro boxer, and that just wasn't a life for me.
I'm here, D, and I still be here. Yes, boxing was my focus, but you were always a part of the plan, D.
No. You know what? I'm gonna stop you right there because you have everything you could ever want in life. I mean, you're a champion. You got money, fame, groupies. Now, why would you want to bring me and Train to that life, huh?
Is that what you think of me, Dee?
Yes!
You're right. I do have it all. And still, I'm right here in this damn living room fighting for this.
Man, I don't know, Vince. Look, we were kids back then, okay? Look, I'm sorry I didn't tell you,
but... I know. I'm sorry. I let my thoughts get the best of me, Dee. Clearly, you've done an amazing job with Trey.
Yeah.
I just want to be a part of that. Give me a chance, at least.
Okay. But don't make promises you can't keep.
I got you.
So there it is, right there, man. I just want to let show everybody number one what I've been working on outside of boxing and the podcast and all that kind of stuff. Live your dreams. It easier said than done. You know, you obviously there's a plethora of things you need to get to your dreams. But like Ann always say, when you dream big. Mm-hmm. And I'll add on to what Ann always says, and then this will be the entirety of the motivation right there. Dream big, like Ann says. And then what I'm going to say is move big. You need moves just as big as those dreams are in order to make them a reality. But outside of that, appreciate you guys for always being there for me, for this podcast. And this is The Port Away.